Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally. Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. I had planned on doing today's show on the topic, Is Time Moving Faster? But the only information I could find was speculation by those who were non-credible. So today, I will discuss a topic I think is equally as interesting. Guardian angels and spirit guides, our faithful friends. When we enter into this physical world at birth, we bring two or more purposefully chosen spiritual companions to accompany us, our spirit guides and our guardian angels. Our faithful companions stay committed to us and our chosen path from our first breath to our last, perhaps even beyond. They both have the same agenda, to guide us through our lives. Though they often work as a team to protect us, the missions of spirit guides and guardian angels are different. Guardian angels are God's messengers, pure spirit and love. These beautiful beings of light vibrate at a higher energy level and are more spiritually advanced than spirit guides. They are intellectually equal. No angel is more intelligent than another. They are flawless entities with no other agenda but to love and protect us. Unlike others in the spiritual realm, angels cannot create their own reality. They have no reason to, because they are here to serve us in our reality. Angels are androgynous beings, neither male nor female, who have never taken a physical body. They can appear to us in any form, even as a human body, but only for a short while. When they reveal themselves in physical form, they choose ways that make the encounter comfortable for us. It would be frightening to see these beautiful angels in all their glory, because their immense energy and divinity would overwhelm us. While we are in the spiritual world, we recruit the number of angels we'll need based on the complexity of the life we have chosen. Each of us has at least one. Most of us have two or more. We can call on more angels anytime for help if need be. Our guardian angels oversee our lives and guard us from danger. Their devotion and love for us is constant. No matter what we do, they stay faithfully by our side. They do not know our life plan like our spirit guides do. They just watch and protect us. They have supernatural healing powers. We can ask them to send us healing energy whenever and wherever we would like. We can call on our guardian angels for practically any reason, and we can always trust their guidance. They welcome our requests, no matter how trivial, how dire, or how many. Our angels wait patiently for us to ask for their help. No prayer or request ever goes unheard. we must call on them because they can only help if we ask. The exception being in the case of life-threatening emergencies when they will act on their own to protect us. Angels are often seen at the bedsides of those who are seriously ill. Guardian angels actively perform miracles of all magnitudes. Whether we recognize them as such is based on our spiritual awareness. These miracles are often chalked up to luck or coincidence. With their immense power, they are able to push us out of harm's way, lift and move heavy objects, and suddenly turn the steering wheel of the car to prevent accidents. Our guardian angels have only our best interest at heart. They want us to be happy, prosper, and reach our full spiritual potential. They applaud our accomplishments. Though angels do not have emotions, they are able to rejoice when things go well for us. All guidance we receive from our guardian angels is subject to our free will. They cannot force us to do anything we choose not to do, though it is wise to trust their counsel because it is always for our highest good. There are times when they lovingly step aside and allow us to learn on our own, knowing that self-discovery is the most beneficial for us. Most of us do not see or feel the presence of these supernatural entities, though they do let us know they are around. Once you tune in, you may perceive your angels a number of ways. You may feel a light touch on your arm, a gentle breeze pass you by, or an overall feeling of warmth. You may feel enveloped by wings or cradled by arms around you. Some say they actually hear the flapping of wings. Those who are more sensitive may feel the angels' powerful energy as a tingling sensation coursing through their body, or a prickly feeling when their angels are trying to warn them. Some see colored or sparkling lights. You may also perceive your angels through scent. When I was a child, there was a particular sweet scent with no identifiable origin that used to waft past me while I was in my bedroom. Emotion is another way to feel the presence of an angel. A sense of pure love, comfort, and security may suddenly surround you. You may feel blissful with a sense of optimal well-being for no apparent reason. You may also feel this way when you are in emotional pain. Our intuition is heightened when guardian angels are communicating with us. You may have a sense of knowing that you cannot verbalize or explain, a gut feeling, or suddenly have a thought or idea pop into your head. Perhaps you may have an immediate urge to go somewhere or call someone. Angels often send messages of love through others, though those who are used as deliverers may be unaware of their mission. I remember a particular time that angels sent a powerful message through me without my prior knowledge. In 2004, my husband Billy was in the market for a mid-70s Corvette or even Trans Am to add to his antique car collection. He'd been on the lookout for a while when he saw an interesting advertisement in the weekend newspaper by a private owner selling a Trans Am. Billy called the number and a woman answered the telephone. She told him that the car had been her husband's, but a few days after he listed it, he had suddenly died. Things had happened so fast, she hadn't even buried him yet. Still, she said he should come by and take a look at the car. Her house was an hour away. I had no interest in Billy's car hobby. It really didn't matter to me what car he decided to buy. but he asked me to go with him to keep him company on the ride. He said we'd make a day of it. It was a beautiful fall day, and I had nothing better to do, so I decided to go. The woman's house was nestled on a wooded lot with brightly colored autumn leaves falling all around it. A very lovely blonde in her 50s answered the door and directed us to the garage on the side of the house where she said the car was. She explained that the garage had been her husband's special place. He had turned it into a museum for his many treasured collectibles. We were invited to look around. She handed Billy the keys and suggested that he pull the Trans Am out onto the driveway where he could take a better look at it. She commented that she knew nothing at all about the car. While Billy was engrossed in examining the engine, the two of us stood nearby and chatted. Obviously distraught, she began opening up to me. She said that she was alone, that she had no children. Since it had always been just the two of them, she and her husband were very close. She said that the reality of his death hadn't fully hit her yet, and that she didn't know how she would handle everything without him. I said the only thing I could think of to console her: everything will be okay. I repeated it about 3 times in the course of our conversation because it seemed to comfort her. I asked if she had felt her husband's presence in the house since his death. She said that she had been talking to him but didn't feel like he was around her. Just then the telephone rang. She excused herself and went into the house. When she came back outside a few minutes later, I instantly noticed how remarkably peaceful her face looked. She looked curiously at me and said, "Now I know that everything will be okay." I asked her what had changed. Was it related to the telephone call? She said, "No, it happened afterward." She explained. I hung up the phone and was standing in the living room. Suddenly, I heard my husband's voice say, "Everything will be okay." He used the same exact words that you did. "What you said is true. You must have been sent by the angels to deliver those words to me." I gave her a hug, and she smiled serenely. Then she looked at me and said, "I can't thank you enough for coming. You are right. I am going to be just fine." Billy didn't end up buying the car, but it didn't matter. We had come for a more important reason. That story exemplifies the ability of the angels to deliver messages through other people. Well, we're about halfway through the show now, so I'm going to take a brief intermission, but I'll be right back after the musical interlude. Stay tuned. Today's discussion, guardian angels and spirit guides, our faithful friends. Your angels hope and wait for you to talk to them. It's best to practice calling on them at regular times each day in surroundings that are quiet, clean, and organized, angels prefer peaceful environments. When you call on them, you don't have to ask for a specific angel, only for an angel to come. They don't have given names, though you may assign them names if it helps you to identify them. Relax or take a moment to get centered first, and then talk to them the same way you would talk to a close friend. Angels are not gods. They don't want us to worship or pray to them. They just want to be treated like dear friends. Just as with any other relationships, your relationships with your guardian angels should be built gradually. It will take faith and time for you to learn how to perceive their energies and comprehend their answers. So be patient. Every angel's energy is unique, so you will sense them differently. In time, you will be able to identify your angels by the way you feel when they are around you. If you don't know how or are having difficulty communicating with your guardian angels, ask them to show you. A variety of ways are equally effective. It comes down to what works best for you. Some people prefer to connect with their angels in their dreams. Others find they are more in sync with their angels when they meditate. Some people can actually hear their angels talking to them. Others may feel their angels through their senses or subtle senses. You may have to experiment with different techniques until you find the method that is most beneficial for you. Angels most often communicate with infused knowledge, so to understand them, you will need to put your rational mind aside. That means trusting your intuition, accepting the sensations that you feel without explaining them away or doubting that you felt them. Once the lines of communication are opened, you will begin sensing your angels around you. With awareness, trust, and conscious intention, you will receive messages that help you get the most out of each day. At first, they will be subtle. In time, they will be clear. You will soon trust that they'll be there when you need them. You can ask questions about anything you'd like. Just remember to wait quietly for your angel to respond. Answers often come in the form of signs. Pay close attention to the same song playing everywhere you go or every time you turn on the radio. Watch for the repetition of words, numbers, or phrases. When you have a thought and someone says what you're thinking out loud, it may be an answer from your angel. When dark moods like fear, depression, or doubt overtake you, ask for protection. You can ask your angels to clear away the negativity and replace it with peace, love, and light. You can ask to be filled with joy, confidence, and courage anytime you desire it. Always make it a practice to thank your guardian angels. They are your greatest cheerleaders. Thank them often. People often use the terms guardian angels and spirit guides interchangeably as if they are representative of the same thing. The main difference between the two is that spirit guides have experienced life in a physical body. Guardian angels have not. Having lived in the physical world, though it may have been centuries ago, spirit guides have had relatable experiences to ours. Spirit guides choose their career paths as teachers and links between the physical and spiritual world, just as we choose our occupations. They may commit to an incarnated soul for their entire lifetime and then move on to other jobs later on. Spirit guides choose not to re-enter the physical world for various reasons. Some decide not to incarnate after having suffered painfully traumatic lives. consequence of that choice is that they slow down the evolution of their soul. Incarnated souls have the ability and opportunity to rapidly advance to higher spiritual levels. Spirit guides may choose their highly difficult jobs watching over us as a way to speed up their growth, though everything they do for us is done with love and devotion. Depending on their soul's evolution, they are at various levels of consciousness. Some are highly advanced. On Earth, they may have been Buddhist masters, highly revered religious figures, Native American chiefs, Hindu gurus, etc. Others may have expertise in a particular area that relates well to our pre-planned incarnation, or they may have spiritually ascended while in the spirit world. Just as with guardian angels, spirit guides are God's representatives, but they are not godly. Our guides relate to us just as regular people do, only with more wisdom. They each have a distinct personality and sense of humor. Spirit guides each have unique energy vibrations. Though they are made up entirely of energy, they will identify with a particular gender for the sake of communicating with us. Most likely they have been both male and female in their previous lives. And though they may be more evolved than we are, they are not superior to us. We are considered equals. Unlike guardian angels, spirit guides have emotions. When we are disappointed or hurting, they are disappointed and hurting for us. The emotion of watching us experience the ups and downs of life makes their job very difficult for them to do. We choose our guides before we come here, based on the self-selected challenges we plan to face and the guide's willingness to commit to us. Sometimes we need more than one guide to accomplish our goals. In that case, we contract each one for a particular focus. Some guides stay with us our entire lifetime. Others come and go as needed. The main responsibility of a spirit guide is to keep us on our chosen path and help us fulfill the spiritual contract we made with ourselves before incarnating. They are close friends and advisors throughout our life. They never force us to do anything, just advise and direct us toward our highest good. They cannot interfere with our intended life plan. If you have chosen to suffer an illness, injury, loss, or disappointment because you needed to learn and grow from that experience, your spirit guide will not try to prevent it. They will, however, suffer through it with you. After we enter our physical bodies at birth, we quickly begin losing our memories of the spiritual realm. Young children easily connect with the spirit world they came from. Contact from the other side seems natural to them. They are not afraid. Often children will have imaginary friends that are not imaginary at all. My daughter Cami had two imaginary friends when she was a child. Their names were Winnie and Bobbitts. She was able to describe their appearances to me. Cami was our first child. She had no siblings, so her playmates were always Winnie and Bobbitts. They were as real to her as anybody else was. She played school with them, pushed them on the swings, played dolls with them, and had conversations with them. Everyone close to Cami accepted her imaginary friends as part of her life and played along with it, though they thought her friends truly were imaginary. I always suspected that Winnie and Bobbitts were her spirit guides, But I never shared my thoughts with her because she was too young to understand. They seemed to disappear around the time she started school and began making real friends. Cammie has very little recollection of them now that she is an adult. That is typical because as we grow older, we lose the conscious memory of where we came from and why we are here. If we knew why we were here, there would be no point in coming. It is through our life experiences that we learn and evolve. Unlike guardian angels, spirit guides know our entire life's plan before we come here. Their job is to offer insight, keep us on our chosen path, and assist us in gaining what we intended from each experience. They communicate with us through our subconscious minds, senses, and intuition. If you are oblivious to their guidance or choose not to listen, they will become frustrated, but they will continue nudging you until you find your way. Their love is pure and unconditional. They are always there helping you whether you are cognizant of their existence or not. When you pray to God for help, your spirit guide is often the one who delivers on that prayer. You do not have to go through God to communicate with your guides. You can talk to them directly. They expect you to. Just as spirits do, we each give off a unique vibration. Our vibration in the physical world is slower than that of the spirits in the spirit world. That means we have to raise our energy level, and they have to slow theirs down in order to be in perfect alignment for optimal communication between dimensions. Those with developed or natural psychic abilities know how to do that. Many psychics know their guides by name, communicate with them often, and rely on them to bring through information. Clairaudient mediums can actually hear the voices of the spirits or spirit guides they are communicating with, though the voices sound differently than the sound we are used to hearing. You may not know your spirit guides' names, but don't let that keep you from talking to them. In time, you will learn them. Whenever you speak to your guides, they will hear you. They even hear our unspoken thoughts, because thoughts are energy and spirits communicate energetically. One way to strengthen your connection with your spirit guide is through meditation. One method of meditation is visualization. Imagine yourself sitting on a bench in a peaceful, beautiful garden, or on a chair in a cozy room. There are empty chairs across from you. Relax for a moment, and then invite your guides to join you in the empty seats. When they arrive, ask them what their names are, and then join them in friendly conversation. Do not be disappointed if nothing happens. These meditation exercises may take time to work. Those in the spirit world often choose to make contact with us in our dreams. Contact is easier when our subconscious mind is active and our conscious mind is at rest. If you'd like, you can invite your spirit guide every night to connect with you in your dreams. It may happen, though it could take a while before it does. Spirit guides sacrifice a great deal of their blissful existence in the spiritual world to fulfill their commitment of guiding us in our emotionally charged physical world. They deserve our most heartfelt gratitude. Thank them often. They work very hard for you. We're out of time. I hope you found meaning in this show that you can apply to your own life. Please feel free to contact me with any comments and questions you may have by emailing me at A Fine Time for Healing at randygfine.com. And remember, Randy is R-A-N-D-I. Be sure to tune in on Thursday, December 30th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time as I discuss the topic, The Joy of Pets, Truly Unconditional Love. All my shows will be archived and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host and author, Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. That's randygfine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.